You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
Yeah! The Rough Belleville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belleville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Monday, May 11th, 2015, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Welcome to the show. So glad to have you here. We've got a great show coming up for you today. If you've got any questions about cannabis science, culture, history, or health, you can get them in live at the bottom of the hour with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. We'll be talking to the good doctor and taking your calls at 971-533-7111 or through our new toll-free number at 84-420-RADIO. That's 844-207-2346. Also, want to thank everyone out there who's been downloading the new 420 Radio app. It's available by going to 420radio.buzz or just go to our main site at 420radio.org. You'll find the links to it. You can get it for iPhone or for Android, and it's an incredibly simple interface. You download it, you push play, you get radio. Couldn't be any easier. So check it out. It's absolutely free. The 420 Radio app. Take 24-hour marijuana legalization radio with you anywhere you can find a cell signal. Now, we've got some scheduling notes we have to tell you about here. For those of you listening to the regular daily podcast, sometimes when I go out traveling and get out on the road and you don't get a podcast every day, you get a little worried, like maybe I've disappeared. The government has hidden me somehow. But let me give you a rundown, and you can always find this rundown at 420radio.org/schedule. I keep that as up to date as possible. But coming up this weekend on Friday, we will not have a live show because I will be flying for the first time ever to Anchorage, Alaska to take part in the Northwest Cannabis Classic. That's happening Saturday and Sunday in Anchorage. And then I'm flying back on Monday, so there'll be no live show on the following Monday. Then the following Tuesday, I board a plane early in the morning to make my way to Washington, D.C. for Normal's legislative fly-in. Now, I should land in time to be able to set up a live show there on Tuesday from Washington, D.C. We'll play you some of the highlights from the Alaska Cannabis Classic. Also, those highlights will be replayed within the replay segments when I'd normally be doing the live show, so you may hear them there. And you'll also be able to catch my uploads to the SoundCloud that we've built now, soundcloud.com/radicalruss. Wednesday and Thursday of next week is the Normal legislative fly-in activities. Lobbying takes place on Thursday, so I will not be able to do a live show on Thursday, and I'm flying back on Friday. So next week, the only live shows should be on Tuesday and Wednesday from Washington, D.C. And then the following week is Memorial Day. We'll have the Memorial Day week off. We normally take a summer week vacation, but also happening starting on Wednesday, May 27th, I fly out to Aspen, Colorado for the Aspen Legal Seminar. 3 days of some of the best legal information. I'll be getting the highlights from that for you and bringing it to you on the live show. Also, we'll be at Hunter S. Thompson's place on Saturday for a barbecue. We're going to take some video and more audio of that. And again, we'll bring that to you on the shows that will start again live on the first week of June. So we're really busy here at 420 Radio, and we couldn't do it without your support. Thank you for being a VIP member if you already are. And if you're not, think about becoming a VIP. For as low as $4.20 a month, you get access to the Hour 2 Toker Talk Radio replays and discounts at the 420 Radio shop. We got all sorts of stuff coming up on the show today, including a look at pesticide protests in Washington state. We've also got debunking of the big tobacco taking over marijuana myth. And at the end of the show, a radical rant, hope for marijuana reform in the great Midwest. It's all coming up next on the Russ Belleville Show.
To the Russ Belleville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
420 Radio. Tune in, turn on, get highly educated.
420 Radio is brought to you by Sacred Serum, who is focused on creating elegant and sophisticated cannabis solutions through its line of dispensers and vaporizers that come preloaded with the world's finest cannabis concentrate. Sacred Serum's concentrate is made on pharmaceutical-grade supercritical CO2 extraction machines that use absolutely no butane or other toxic chemicals. The Vesica, the company's innovative new way to dab and frost, is now available in dispensaries across California. Sacred Serum, elegance and sophistication concentrated.
This is Big Daddy, and I want you to check out my show, The Funky Roller Ring, right here on 420 Radio, because we love us some funky music.
Funky Roller Ring. I like that.
Tired of storing your herb in back alley baggies? Then keep your herb fresh and protected with Pottles. Pottles are airtight and odor free, not to mention they're reusable, BPA free, and UV resistant. Pottles come in a variety of sizes, styles, and colors, so go check out Pottles at mypottles.com. Use the code STASH to get an additional 10% off. Again, that's mypottles.com, mypottles.com, and tell them Radical Russ sent ya.
It's time for the 420 Radio News, covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Transcripts of 420 Radio News are available daily on our website at 420radio.org. Now, here's Russ Belville with your marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds.
This is your 420 Radio News for Monday, May 11th, 2015. A special committee of lawmakers will hold a key vote tonight on a bill placing new limits on Oregon's medical marijuana program. The limits in Senate Bill 844 are designed to stanch the substantial flow of marijuana ostensibly grown in Oregon for the medical program to the black market. Lawmakers say preventing that black market leakage is essential to setting up the recreational marijuana market that voters approved in November. But some growers and patients in the program have adamantly opposed the bill. SB 844 includes limits on the total number of plants allowed per medical marijuana grow site, a mandatory tracking system for most of that marijuana, allowing state health officials to inspect certain grow sites for compliance, and restricting marijuana growing, processing, and selling to people who have lived in Oregon for at least 2 years. Supporters of three proposals to put legal marijuana in the Ohio Constitution are pushing for a spot on the fall ballot, but there is growing talk of a move by the General Assembly to undercut full legalization. Sources say legislators want to create a more restrictive alternative to legalizing marijuana in Ohio than what is being proposed by private, for-profit groups as a way to undermine those approaches. One option is passage of House Bill 33, a proposal that would legalize cannabis-derived medicines for those with seizure disorders, either in its present form or by slightly expanding it. Another option is a legislatively initiated ballot issue that would legalize marijuana for medical purposes, but in ways far more restrictive than those proposals being discussed. Either of those legislative options theoretically would make the prospect of defeating a well-funded proposal by for-profit groups easier, sources said. For 9 months, the city of San Jose has attempted to close down San Jose Organics, a major medical marijuana dispensary with over 5,000 members. San Jose has already fined the dispensary thousands of dollars and told it to cease operations. The city is adding $1,500 a day to its fines for every day it remains open. Now the two sides are set to face off in court. In a hidden camera investigation, the NBC Bay Area Investigative Unit saw that the dispensary appeared to be violating several city regulations on the sale of medical marijuana. San Jose city ordinances specify that nobody under 21 can purchase medical marijuana or even be on the premises of a dispensary. The investigative unit heard customer after customer confirm that the dispensary regularly sold medical marijuana to people as young as 18. Hidden cameras also showed that the shop sold marijuana concentrates and stayed open for business past 9 p.m., both violations of San Jose ordinances. Luxembourg's parliament is set to debate the decriminalization of cannabis, the health minister said, while outlining a new drug prevention program. On Monday, Lydia Mouch explained that drug use in Luxembourg has steadily increased since from 2009 to 2014. Among new measures proposed to curb its rise, the minister said that a broad debate in Parliament would take place to consider decriminalizing the consumption of cannabis. Smoking hashish has repeatedly raised safety questions, but there remains a large number of voices in favor of relaxing the law on its consumption. The minister said she hoped to raise awareness among young people in the future of the risks surrounding cannabis consumption, as well as the use of other legal drugs such as alcohol and tobacco. State Senator David Argall said he's once again supporting a bill to legalize the use of medical cannabis in Pennsylvania. On January 26, State Senator Mike Fulmer introduced Senate Bill 3, an act providing for the medical use of cannabis in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. It's geared to provide medical cannabis to people with medical conditions including cancer, epilepsy and seizures, amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, cachexia or wasting syndrome, Parkinson's disease, traumatic brain injury, and post-concussion syndrome, multiple sclerosis, spinocerebellar ataxia, post-traumatic stress disorder, and severe fibromyalgia, according to the bill. On April 22nd, it was re-referred to the Senate Appropriations Committee. New York Senator Kirsten Gillibrand said Monday she will push for a new bill already enjoying bipartisan support that would amend federal law to allow states to set their own medical marijuana policies. The law would not legalize marijuana, she emphasized, but would respect the states that set their own medical marijuana programs and prevent federal law enforcement from prosecuting patients, doctors, and caregivers. Quote, "We need to modernize our laws," end quote, she said, and is optimistic about the chances of success for her bill. This has been your 420 Radio News for Monday, May 11th, 2015. I'm Russ Belville.
"420 Radio, the world's voice of marijuana legalization." Oregon has joined Washington and Colorado in legalizing marijuana. We're Portland Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws chapter in Portland, Oregon. Join us as we celebrate the launch of an exciting new era in marijuana freedom in Oregon. Our job has just begun. Powerful interests want to white out the most important portions of Oregon's legalization law. By joining Portland Normal, you add your voice to the thousands who voted for Measure 91 and want it to be implemented as written. The people have spoken. Now it is time for the legislature to obey the will of the people. Find out more about Portland Normal at portlandnormal.org. Attend our monthly membership meetings on the fourth Saturday of the month. See our website for more details. Portland Normal, ensuring responsible adult marijuana consumers are afforded the same rights, privileges, and responsibilities as beer drinkers. NORMAL stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks are far less than those posed by legal drugs. The Fingerboard Extension has fretted instruments to enhance your creativity. It has new and used guitars and banjos from beginning to high class. The Fingerboard Extension has National Resophonic, Husson Dalton, Larrabee, Heritage and Recording King guitars, and Mike Ramsey, Wildwood, Gold Tone, and Recording King banjos. The Fingerboard Extension also has drum stuff, used gear, and parts. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension, downtown Corvallis, Oregon at 120 Northwest 2nd, or check out the inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com and reverb.com.
Welcome back, everyone. Time for us to go behind the headlines, where the Seattle Times reports medical marijuana activists take state to task for safety of recreational pot. It's a very interesting story that involves Dr. Gil Mobley and Steve Sarich up in Washington State, both of whom were vocal and funded anti-I-502 campaigners. They were the No on I-502 campaign, which makes me wonder what the hell they care about the recreational pot testing program when it was something they didn't even support or vote for. But it's an interesting protest. The picture shows them and about a dozen other activists in white, in those white sterile jumpsuits with blue latex gloves on and the eye guard, goggles, I guess you'd call them, to which one person on Twitter said, why are Devo fans protesting the Liquor Control Board? But anyway, it does kind of look a little Devo. But they're protesting, and according to the article, Gil Mobley, who's now in Missouri, by the way, he lives in Missouri now, but he's worried about the Washington State recreational pot program. Anyway, Mobley and another activist took 2 ounces of blazing grapefruit that they purchased from Uncle Ike's pot shop in Seattle's Central District. Those 2 ounces cost more than $700. That's a big problem right there, $350 an ounce. Of course, not the $600 an ounce that Steve Sarich had predicted would happen from I-502, but nevertheless, it's a lot of money. So they ground up the 2 ounces and then they loaded them up to take to 5 Seattle area labs. And then he also took a slew of samples to Portland for pesticide testing later that week, which means that they bought recreational pot in Washington, violated Washington law by taking it across the state border, violated Oregon law by bringing it across the state border, and violated federal law by trafficking marijuana between states. Now remember, these are the people that complain there can't be a voluntary patient registry because the federal government might get that information and use it against them. And he's there publicly admitting in the media to 2 state and 1 federal felony. Okay, but anyway, they took it to Portland for pesticide testing, and he had a hypothesis that the testing on the recreational market isn't that consistent. And what he found out here is that the THC ranged from 17 to 23%, and at the store, it was labeled as 22%. So we got a, you know, 6-point variance there. And then same kind of variance for concentrate, 60%, 55%, 85%. No pesticides were detected in a variety of products Mobley took to Portland. So his initial hypothesis that there's, and the protest he's got going on, oh my God, there might be pesticides in the weed. They didn't find any pesticides in the weed. And the other thing that's weird about this to me is that critiquing the recreational pot that is currently being tested and is required to be tested. Now, admittedly, the testing procedures could be better. They could be more consistent, but there's all sorts of roadblocks to that, right? Usually federal agencies are in charge of standards, right? The weights and measures and all that. FDA or whatever organization or entity might test that, they're not involved because it's federally illegal. And even the state agencies that want to get involved on the testing and the regulation of the testing and the setting of standards run up against that federal illegality and nervousness from their directors from wanting to get involved. So we have these independent labs that are trying to do it, but again, they're all independent and nobody's really setting any one standard. The rest of the article discusses some of that with some of the people working at some of these labs, which is fantastic work there. But I would note that, again, there was no pesticides detected in the recreational pot, and medical pot is not required to be tested at all, hasn't been required to be tested at all. Now, if the argument is, oh no, we're moving medical pot into this recreational arena, in this recreational regime set up by I-502, and doggone it, they're not testing well enough. It's not worse than not testing at all, which has been the standard in Washington medical marijuana for the past 12, 14, however many years. Just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. Mobley says that medical marijuana patients shouldn't be under the state's current testing regime. Now, of course, that's been settled. The new law that's been signed by the governor does move that into the Liquor Control Board's purview and can subject it to the testing. But it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me why you'd be criticizing that when you're coming from the side that was against passing the law in the first place and supporting the idea of remaining untested and unregistered and Wild West unregulated like they currently are. One of the laboratory people, Randy Simmons, who's the state's marijuana project director, says, I'm not sure how Mobley thinks the product out there is safe on the medical side right now. Again, as Simmons says, when patients are purchasing unregulated products from medical marijuana dispensaries, Mobley says recreational is being held out as tested and safe. medical isn't. Yeah, that's the point, I guess, is that medical isn't being held out as being tested and safe, isn't being argued as being tested and safe, because it's not tested at this point. What an amazing story.
What are you people? On dope?
Ian Eisenberg from the Uncle Ike's Pot Shop says, at least other protesters, the churches that protested them, had God on their side. These guys have nothing. Most of the customers at this point understand our pot is tested. Maybe the tests aren't perfect, but it's better than nothing. Yes, it is. Happy 420 Mountain Time Zone. We'll be right back with some Reefer Madness debunking after this.
You can get 420 Radio on the go with our Shoutcast stream for all internet-enabled media players. Go to rad-r.us/420shout or just click the Shoutcast icon below the live radio feed at 420radio.org.
Support for 420 Radio comes from Kick-Ass Cannabis and Veggies, a guide to gardening with nature, authored by Kip Zonderkopf. Based on the ethos that a living soil is the foundation of a thriving garden, Kick-Ass Cannabis and Veggies is your guide to naturally growing resinous buds and nutrient-rich veggies. Get the ebook now with instant download at kickassorganics.com. Previews available on Amazon, iTunes, Nook, Google Play, Kobo, and many other online retailers.
Oh man, I really dig this tune. You should really check out this groove.
Cool.
Hey, check out more deep cuts like this on my show, Big Daddy Fink's Funky Roller Rink, every Thursday night on 420 Radio.
Funky Roller Rink.
Yeah, come to the weed shop. Yeah, that's where we shop. Shop at weedshop.com. Come to the weed shop. Yeah, that's where we shop. Shop at weedshop.com. Whether it's a vape pen, a pipe, or a bong, you can find it right now on weedshop.com. We got dab rings, nails, and ship it fast. Whipping any of a competitor's glass. Come to the weed shop. Yeah, that's where we shop. Shop at weedshop.com. Come to the weed shop, yeah, that's where we shop. Shop at weedshop.com.
Marijuana is an addictive drug which produces in its users insanity, criminality, and death. Marijuana is the most violence-causing drug in the history of mankind. If the hideous monster Frankenstein came face-to-face with the monster of marijuana, he dropped dead from fright.
You know, it's not easy countering 7 decades of propaganda in a 2-hour show, but let's try. It's time for the Russ Belville Show's Reefer Madness Debunked.
Why Big Tobacco Taking Over Marijuana is a stupid scare. For years now, stoners considering the impact of marijuana legalization have warned of a terrible consequence. Big marijuana has purchased acres of land in Humboldt County, goes the fear. And when marijuana's legal, they've already trademarked pot brands and will flood the market with cheap, inferior pot laden with pesticides and chemicals. This scare dates back to the 1970s, and like most urban legends, has some kernels of truth to it. Indeed, perusing through some of the most recently released documents from the Big Tobacco lawsuits has shown that in the 1970s, companies like R.J. Reynolds and Philip Morris were investigating how they would profit from a world of legalized marijuana. Now, nobody's found any land deeds in Northern California belonging to these corporations, but that lack of proof hasn't stopped the legend. In fact, the scare is so effective it has been co-opted by Kevin Sabet and Project Sam in their Big Marijuana pitch, one of the few pieces of rhetoric that appeals to both pro- and anti-marijuana voters. Well, I'm here to tell you it's a ridiculous scare that should be shut down every time it is uttered. First of all, keep in mind that as long as marijuana is federally illegal, no big multinational corporation is going to touch it, for fear of federal seizure and federal criminal court. Big tobacco isn't hurting for profits, even with the stark decline in U.S. smoking habits. Big tobacco is currently cleaning up in Indonesia and is betting on new e-cigarette delivery devices to improve its bottom line. But let's pretend marijuana is suddenly made federally legal and legal in all 50 states. It's still an open question whether big tobacco will get in on the marijuana game. Yes, they have the facilities to roll, package, market, and sell tobacco cigarettes, but marijuana will force them to invest in research and development of new large-scale processing for marijuana. Tobacco's a leaf, marijuana's a flower. There will be some differences to account for in processing. But let's pretend they do, and big tobacco buys up acres of land and starts producing the Bud Light of marijuana. It's cheap. It's easily accessible, maybe not the worst weed you've ever smoked, but far from being the best. It's got God knows what sprayed on it from seedling to harvest, but they assure you it is perfectly safe. Are you going to smoke that shit? Do you know anybody who would smoke that shit? I'm not smoking that shit. Now, maybe some people will smoke that shit, but these days, some people smoke Mexican brickweed. How is big tobacco flooding the market with shitty weed any different than the Mexican cartels doing the same? I mean, aside from the fact big tobacco will sell it in stores, cops won't arrest you for buying it, and 100,000 Mexicans weren't slaughtered by big tobacco's gunfire. The ultimate answer to the big marijuana scare is that it's hard to manufacture demand for a shitty product. Whether it is your local stoner warning about big tobacco's mass-produced weed, or Kevin Sabet warning that Mexican cartels will shift their production and trafficking to cocaine, meth, and heroin, the simple response is, and who's going to buy that? We've had 80 years of the federal government using guns and prisons to force us to stop growing and selling really exceptional weed. It's never worked. So how is a mega corporation using advertising and volume going to force us to stop growing and selling exceptional weed? It's not becoming any more illegal to grow your own or buy it from your source. And it's becoming increasingly more difficult for cops to catch you doing it. From drug dogs being retired to the smell and sight of marijuana residues, stems, seeds, leaves in your trash, high electric bills, all those probable causes are slowly going away across the country. So stop playing into Kevin Sabet's scaremongering by echoing his talking points about big tobacco companies. We overgrew state and federal prohibition. We overgrow Mexican cartels. And we will overgrow corporate attempts to monopolize marijuana.
You can get 420 Radio on the go with the TuneIn Radio app for all mobile platforms. Go to rad-r.us/420TuneIn or just click the TuneIn Radio icon below the live radio feed on 420radio.org. Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
Hey, this is Willie Nelson, or Norman, and I smoke pot and I like it a lot. I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer than alcohol. There's nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana by adults. It's time we stopped arresting and started respecting those who smoke marijuana responsibly. To learn what you can do to help, contact Normal at norml.org or call toll-free 888-67-NORMAL.
Growing plants indoors can be a rewarding hobby, but electricity bills can go through the roof. Then you have to cool down all those big hot lights. It can drive a grower insane.
With Lush LED lighting, you can solve many of these issues and double your rewards. Matt and his scientists have developed the perfect light for flowering plants with far less cost and heat. And the results? Very effective. Check out LushLEDLighting.com right now and tell them Radical Russ sent you.
It's time for the Russ Belville Show's Cannabis Q&A with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Dr. Earlywine is a professor of psychology at the State University of New York at Albany and a leading author and researcher on cannabinoids and health, who pens the Ask Dr. Mitch column for High Times magazine. Get your questions ready in our live chat or call in to 971-533-7111 now.
Welcome back, everyone. Time for our live Cannabis Q&A with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. How you doing, Dr. Mitch?
Great and finals, Russ.
Oh, my God. It's finals time already?
Sad but true.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, good luck on that. Good luck to all the students with your finals. I hope things go well. We're taking your live questions for Dr. Mitch Earlywine on our phone line at 844-420-RADIO. That's 844-207-2346. Or you can join our chat room. Just go to the main page at 420radio.org and click that live chat button. But we always start things off by giving Dr. Mitch the first word to tell us what's the latest in marijuana science.
A lot of wild media coverage this week. Cannabis is definitely not a lubricant, as we've seen here.
Well,
pot prohibition in college students, it may be worse than it is better, and more confirmation of cannabidiol is safe. Nice list of diseases medical marijuana can help, and some interesting work up in Canada on the efficacy of medical cannabis.
Well, you know, if I have to put these in order of importance, it might be a different first story, but in order of ratings, what's this about cannabis and the vagina?
Sad but true, cannabis is not a lubricant, and we've had these data since Shenang in 2737 BC.
We're not talking about applying cannabis, are we?
No, just the sort of inadvertent impact of cannabis smoking dries out all mucous membranes. That may be part of why folks get red eyes, but also it could dry out things to sort of counteract cannabis's notorious aphrodisiac qualities, shall we say. And it's cute to see this big set of quotations from Julia Holland. And if you get a chance to get any of her books, they're super fun. But she's got a new one out called Moody Bitches that I really recommend for anybody. It's incredibly informative about medications more generally and how women are treated in the medical system.
Yeah, I had a chance to interview Dr. Holland when her book Weekends at Bellevue came out. The title caught my attention, of course. And then she wrote, she was an editor for The Pot Book, which is this huge tome of a collection. Are you in that one as well?
I am. I've got a nice chapter on the first work on the vaporizer in there, and just a general review of respiratory symptoms and cannabis. And it sent the message that, you know, we already know that the respiratory irritation definitely decreases if you can switch to the vaporizer. Mm.
And as far as this story on the vagina, is this correlated with like the dry mouth you get? Because I know some strains don't give me as much dry mouth as others. Would that correlate to other locations?
As you can imagine, the data haven't been gathered formally, but that's certainly consistent with the clinical reports, shall we say. But this is often usually just, you know, a lubricant away. This isn't something that's a serious long-term effect, generally short-term and generally easy to intervene.
All right. Well, I'm sure we need to collect this data on this very important topic. So if there's any volunteers out there listening, send send in your CV and we'll see if we can get you in the trial. All right, let's go to another story. And this one was interesting to me. It came out last month, but a study on how pot prohibition hurts college students more than it helps them. I guess the theory being if we prohibit pot, college kids won't ever use it.
Well, it's interesting because the story itself tried to allude to some of these data that have been gathered where folks in the Netherlands who are actually residents there, they're allowed access, but folks who are immigrants there are not allowed access. And they were trying to make a big case about, gee, the folks who got cut off basically after this law got passed had higher final exams. the effect itself was kind of small and sort of silly, and certainly nothing compared to what we could probably get if we had a smart roommate in your room, or if you just banned alcohol for a while. But the meta message that I really like that they brought up at the end is that essentially we've got almost 250,000 low-income and primarily minority students who are either failing to enroll or dropping out of college because they can't get financial aid related to some kind of drug conviction. And that is the kind of hurt we just can't deal with. So clearly, if you're concerned about cannabis and studying, why don't we be concerned about prohibition and actually getting people in the situation where they're allowed to study in the first place?
Yeah, well put. Glad to see that making the public's consciousness to understand that getting busted for pot's going to hurt your career worse than anything the pot can do. Naturally, we've got some follow-up questions to our first story coming up in the chat room. The first question is, can you infuse cannabis into KY jelly? Or more broadly speaking, into some sort of sexual lubricant? And maybe a follow-up on that, on the Foria product that we've heard about.
So the Foria does seem to be mentioned in this article. And if you think about it, it's really a coconut oil base, and that's going to be a great lubricant and has the potential to absorb THC and transmit it transdermally. So it does seem like this may actually be something that could not only help with the impact of smoked cannabis, but also increase THC concentrations later on. I don't want this to turn into something where somebody gets higher than, I'm going to say she this time means to, but that's definitely there. The potential is definitely there.
Oh boy, that's interesting. All right. Another topic that was of interest to me, you know, I'm in a medical marijuana state here in the state of Oregon, and it's always confounded us that here we are up to now 71,000 cases of people using marijuana to treat whatever condition, but our law doesn't, and it seems like our medical boards aren't interested in asking these people if it actually is working or doing anything. We get this report from the Montreal Gazette up in Canada, where the Canadian doctors now are going to start asking the patients on the effectiveness of cannabis. Can you tell us more about that?
Well, it's kind of complicated for something that should be so self-evident. I mean, how hard is it to, you know, give people a list of their symptoms after they've started some kind of therapy and say, hey, are things getting any better? And I think a lot of physicians do this informally anyway, but we don't have the real clinical trials, and we need to make this happen. Mark Ware, who's well known for his work in the pain literature, is mentioned in this and is part of this big consortium in Montreal where they're just going to do that. It seems so self-evident, we really need to make it happen. Now, it's obviously not going to be your standard placebo-controlled trial, but in part because these folks don't need placebo. They've already tried a lot of other medications and are turning into these. But if we could at least see some pre-post data that are consistent with the idea that, what a surprise, cannabis actually does enhance appetite, improve weight gain, and things like that, that's going to help us get more universal adoption across a whole bunch of different disorders. And I feel like that's what's plaguing us here in the U.S., is that we've got essentially, you know, one state has this disorder, another state has that one, and we don't necessarily get the same kind of pharmaceutical recommendations in different areas. And we really do need a nice federal list where we can say, look, we've got cannabis related to the following problems. And I would prefer a symptoms approach, to tell you the truth. So rather than saying you've got this disease, just saying, hey, do you have insomnia, the symptom? Do you have pain, the symptom? Do you have problems with appetite, the symptom? Regardless of how it's generated, and I think we could get a lot further.
And, you know, one of the things I would hope that would reveal is, or at least, you know, attack the propensity of people who begrudgingly admit marijuana is medicinal, but only as a last resort. Well, you tried all the other epilepsy drugs. Why not try some CBD oil? Are we making progress in that, in just the medical community?
Unfortunately, only in a few areas. So I feel like there's still some domains where the physicians either don't have the training or are still dragging their feet. So I'm pleased that the anti-nausea stuff, particularly with cancer chemotherapy, is starting to spread among those physicians. But then I'm disappointed that the pain physicians, even the migraine experts, where we do have some pretty compelling data now, they want to move to Imitrex. They want to move to these other drugs first. More out of familiarity than anything else. And we haven't had the opportunity to really go head to head in a clinical trial where we compare one to the other. And that's just a real shame, because those medications lower blood pressure really immensely and end up making people pass out or making them completely incapacitated. Where with migraine, if you, you know, first notice a couple of flashes, you run to your vaporizer and you can actually have a productive day. Whereas with Imitrex, that may not be a possibility.
Yeah, I can testify to that with my wife having gone through migraine and me having to introduce her to medical cannabis, as it turned out to be her last resort. It was that or Demerol. So I sure hope they get that information out to the people. We're speaking with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. He's the chair of the Normal Board of Directors and one of America's leading marijuana researchers. You can find his books on Amazon.com and other fine book outlets. And Dr. Mitch, there's a study out, the epilepsy.org. This is out in the UK. They report on the study that confirms the safety of cannabidiol, and something that we've already pretty much decided had been pretty safe, but it's nice to see these mainstream organizations reporting it.
It's funny because I just felt like cannabidiol is practically water. I mean, it really does not have a lethal dose at all. And the animal literature, you know, they're pounding it into these poor rodents, and of course they're not even slowing down much. But we got to have this documented, and so the U.S. FDA finally has something to look at when they start to have these concerns. I do hope this doesn't undermine our efforts to make sure THC is also available, though. So if you know, CBD gets all this wonderful treatment and suddenly we're stuck with CBD oil when there are really a lot of patients who need either the combination or THC.
And this is again from epilepsy.org.uk, the safety of the cannabis drug CBD. And this is coming about due to the Epidiolex trials. Is that right? GW Pharmaceuticals still working on that?
Yeah, and it's interesting because they've really gone through a lot of effort to grow strains that are high in CBD before it was even trendy or hip. And so I'm glad we're getting the benefit. They do that spray, the Sativex, and I'm of two minds about it. It tends to not have as rapid an onset as vaporized cannabis, so I can understand folks being reluctant to turn to that when they could actually have a nice vaporized indica that's high in CBD.
All right. Well, Dr. Mitch Earlywine joins us every Monday for this cannabis Q&A segment, but if you want to get your question asked and answered privately, there's an email address for that. Just email to 420research@gmail.com. That's 420research@gmail.com, and Dr. Mitch can answer that for you. May even become inspiration for a study or a column someday. You never know. And Dr. Mitch, we've got the normal legislative fly-in happening on the 20th and 21st, the normal Aspen Legal Conference starting the 28th through the 31st. I'll be at both those events reporting. Will I get a chance to see you?
I'm delighted to see you in D.C., Russ. We got a lot to catch up on.
All right. We'll see you in Washington, D.C. We'll get a live interview with Dr. Mitch while we're there. Thank you, Dr. Mitch. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Take care.
All right. Stay tuned, folks. We got time for a radical rant where we're looking at hope for marijuana reform in the great Midwest. We're going to start in Texas and work our way north and show you how there's hope everywhere in this great United States for the return of our marijuana heritage and cannabis liberty. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
To the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
420 Radio is 24-hour marijuana legalization radio. This is Radical Russ encouraging you to take a look at the Weed Blog every day. Johnny Green and the staff at the Weed Blog are on top of all the latest developments in the fight to end marijuana prohibition nationwide. You can even get the Weed Blog on your smartphone by installing the Weed Blog app for iPhone and Android. If it's about weed, it's on the Weed Blog, including my original writing. So don't delay. Read the Weed Blog today.
Hey, nuts to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel.
The Russ Belville Show reminds you to never smoke and drive impaired. Hang out for a while. Share.
At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics. Herbie's Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of the Russ Belville Show and 420 Radio.
We must wage what I have called total war against public enemy number one.
I support a change in law to end federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
That marijuana, pot, grass, whatever you want to call it, is probably the most dangerous drug.
Some think there won't be room for them in jail. We'll make room.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it, and didn't inhale.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Radical Rant.
Welcome back, everyone. Today for the Radical Rant, we're going to take a look at the few remaining states that still have no form of marijuana or medical marijuana or decriminalization on the books. And they're mostly concentrated in the great American Midwest, the Great Plains, and even down into Texas and Louisiana, which is where we will start. We'll start down there in the South and work our way northward through those states and kind of just give you an update on the latest marijuana reforms going on in those states. Now, Texas has been a huge surprise. Just this last Thursday, we reported on how Republican State Representative David Simpson, who has been arguing not for legalization, but deregulation of marijuana. He wants to take marijuana off the books in the state of Texas. No laws about it whatsoever. He's been making what he calls the Christian case for legalization, saying that when God made marijuana, it was not a mistake that government needs to fix. His bill is House Bill 2165, and surprisingly, three Democrats and two Republicans voted for it, and it passed 5-2. Now, that means it's eligible for consideration to be voted on the House floor. There's until June 1st, the Texas legislative session goes until June 1st, and the chances that it's going to be called for a vote on the floor or even a discussion on the floor are slim to none. Very Republican, very conservative Texas House, and the speaker there is unlikely to bring it to a full floor vote. But the fact that deregulation of marijuana passed out of committee 5-2, you'd be hard-pressed to get that out of a California committee or an Oregon committee 5-2, much less Texas. And there are currently other bills in the Texas legislature, one of which is a typical CBD type bill for medical marijuana, that do have a fairly decent chance of getting heard and possibly even passed. I wouldn't be surprised if it did. Now, in Louisiana, there's a medical, it's an interesting situation in Louisiana because Louisiana has medical marijuana. A lot of people don't know that Louisiana is a medical marijuana state. It legalized medical marijuana before California in 1991. The only problem is this is one of those bills. These are kind of these orphan or ghost medical marijuana bills that were passed in the 80s and 90s that legalize medical marijuana for certain conditions, usually cancer and glaucoma, but they require it to be prescribed. They use the actual word prescribe and prescription. And those terms have legal meaning, and they refer to one's federal license to dispense controlled substances. And since marijuana is Schedule I federally, it cannot be prescribed. Or someone who does prescribe it loses their federal prescribing permissions to prescribe anything. So it's always been a law in name only. There's this medical marijuana law in Louisiana, but no place, no way to get the medical marijuana. Well, a bill was authorized by a legislative panel that would allow, it's Senate Bill 143, and it would give legal authority to the Louisiana Board of Pharmacy to set rules for a tightly constrained dispensary system. And he's actually negotiated with the Louisiana Sheriff's Association to get them to be neutral toward the bill. Now, it's because they're not going to allow smoked medical marijuana. It would just be medical marijuana extracts, kind of like the bills in New York and Minnesota. But we are talking about Louisiana here, folks. That's pretty amazing. Now, moving a bit north to Oklahoma, Oklahoma has actually passed a limited CBD oil bill. It's a pilot program for medical cannabidiol oil. It's called Cady and Cayman's Law, and it is a very strict CBD only for study purposes with a sunset provision in it. And of course, Governor Mary Fallon, who signed this law, is one of the leading anti-marijuana governors in the country. She's at Chris Christie level. She said, quote, "It is not marijuana and is not anything that'll make you high. This has been narrowly crafted to support highly supervised medical trials for children with debilitating seizures. It is not a first step toward legalizing marijuana, and I will never support the legalization of marijuana in Oklahoma." But still, it's progress. You've now got the state of Oklahoma on board as recognizing that marijuana, at least parts of it, have medical utility. Now, moving on to the state of Arkansas. Hasn't been a lot of movement in the state of Arkansas. As far as I'm aware, the bills there have died as far as medical cannabis or even CBD only. Two news stories regarding Arkansas did involve the outgoing governor, Mike Beebe, or Beebe, one or the other, who, as he left office in last November, planned to pardon his son's felony marijuana conviction. So at least one Arkansan got his record reduced for marijuana. And there was an April Fool's story this year. April 1st, a abandoned Easy Mart location was papered up with a big sign saying it would be the location of Arkansas's first medical marijuana dispensary. And the last I read on this story, it was still unknown who had placed this prank. But that's all we've heard out of Arkansas so far is those pranks from the outgoing governor and the April Fools. Now, Kansas has made news this week, or just last week, I should say, last Friday, in its marijuana reform. They have passed a bill that is decrim and CBD only and industrial hemp. It is originally a CBD bill that was added amendments were added. So all three of those things are making their way in one bill through the Kansas House. They're already passed 81-36. It's now on its way to the Senate for consideration. And I think a large reason why this is making headway in Kansas is because of the legalization of marijuana in Colorado. Part of what this bill would do is make it so first and second time marijuana offenders who don't have a serious record would avoid jail time, which would decrease the population in the state prisons and save more than $1.7 million, according to the state estimates. These small Kansas counties, especially on the western side of Kansas, can't afford to keep busting people coming from Colorado who may have brought some weed back with them. So they'll still keep busting them, and they'll fine them in a first or second time that they're caught, thereby avoiding the cost of having to feed and clothe and house them in the jails and the prisons in the state of Kansas. The bill would also allow for CBD only, medical marijuana for, again, mostly epileptic kids. And that would be CBD oil that would have to be no more than 3% THC. Now, it's interesting, as these CBD bills keep getting passed around the country, Georgia just passed one that would allow up to 5% THC. Kansas is allowing 3% THC. This is so much more THC volume than the previous CBD states have allowed. It seems that the message that CBD alone isn't good enough. And now this Kansas bill shows that they're starting to recognize not only the medical utility of THC, but its utility in concert, the entourage effect that Dr. Sanjay Gupta talks about, this synergistic effect of THC with CBD. And that's just more good news for our efforts, more good news showing that we have been successful in educating these state lawmakers as to the need for some THC in these CBD oils. Moving from Kansas up to the state of Nebraska, there's a bill going through first round debate. Now, Nebraska is a unicameral legislature. It doesn't have a House and a Senate. It just has a legislature, one body. So that's kind of good news. You only have to get through one body before you hit the governor with your bill there. They're in a first round debate on a bill for medical marijuana. Their governor is pretty much on board for vetoing that. He penned a column, "Marijuana is a Dangerous Drug," where he trotted out, you know, lies that were debunked in the 90s. It's federally controlled substance. He tried to tie the K2 epidemic into it. He's trying every reefer madness bit he can to bolster his position, because I think he understands that the Nebraska legislature is probably going to pass this. And there's a chance Nebraska could pass this with a veto-proof majority. Already they've got Nebraskans who are testifying to the governor, to the chief medical officer, to the legislature about their children with severe epilepsy, a husband who died of brain cancer, or some people who themselves are suffering from multiple sclerosis or chronic pain. It's going to be tougher and tougher for these governors to be on record as vetoing medical marijuana, especially if they have any ambitions beyond their governor's mansion to higher elected office. Now, we've also, moving further north into, should say farther north into the Great Midwest, the Iowa Senate. This is news that was from 2 or 3 weeks ago, Wednesday, April 15th. The New Jersey Senate, or Iowa Senate, excuse me, had passed a bill to legalize medical marijuana for Iowans. It was Senate File 484. It passed 26-19. But to this date, in the Iowa House, the Speaker, Craig Paulson, a Republican, has not moved that bill into the House floor debate. So it's passed one House, it's passed the Senate, I should say, in Iowa, held up in the House. Just, again, a matter of time before one of these bills finally breaks through. We've got the news out of North Dakota. I'm sorry, let's start with South Dakota if we're continuing to move farther north. South Dakota is one of the few states where there were absolutely no marijuana policy reform suggested, introduced, debated, or passed. Nothing happening in South Dakota with respect to marijuana reform, marijuana legalization. We hope we can change that. We hope there's someone out there in South Dakota who wants to get involved. And finally, farthest north in North Dakota, they rejected medical marijuana, citing concerns to public safety and to law enforcement. This rejection happened earlier this year in February. And the Republican-led House voted 67-26. Now, this was a bill that would have allowed up to 2 ounces of cannabis-infused products. It wouldn't have allowed medical marijuana smoking and wouldn't allow any home grow. It would only have allowed medical marijuana for cancer, glaucoma, PTSD, and some other of the commonly listed ailments. And only, it would have been only oils, ointments, beverages, and edibles. But again, the North Dakota Republicans voted that down, citing concerns from law enforcement about non-smokable marijuana extracts. So from the south to the north, it seems the farther north you go, the tougher the row is to hoe for passing marijuana reforms this year. I've got my hopes on Texas. I know they can get something passed there. They've got a strong activist base. And the news coming out of Kansas is amazing as well. Kind of undercuts their own arguments at the Supreme Court, doesn't it? All right, folks, stay tuned for Hour 2, Toker Talk Radio. We'll take your calls at 844-420-RADIO. Let's try that again. 844-420-RADIO or 844-207-2346. For everyone here at Rolla J Studios, I'm Radical Russ. Make sure you download the 420 Radio app. You can find it at 420radio.buzz for your iPhone or your Android. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show.
The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at radicalrus.com.